You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Folks, Mother's Day is around the corner, and let me talk to you about 1-800-Flowers. I can't wait. Every year, it's a tradition. I send stuff to my mother, my mother-in-law, and my wife because they are three amazing moms. They're better than all your moms out there. You think you have good moms? No, I have good moms in my life. I'm just kidding. This was a little harsh. I'm sure you guys all have good moms too. From your mom to the mother of your children and all the moms in between, this Mother's Day, give back to the ones that have given you everything. 1-800-Flowers helps you celebrate all amazing moms, from homemade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts, ordered easily and delivered fresh. For a limited time, you can save up to 40% off Mother's Day bestsellers at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan. Don't wait. Order today and save up to 40% at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey, please drink responsibly.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
That's what she said. I was responding to Lewis talking in my ear. So
classic.
No one else got that joke other than Lewis. But the audience heard the punchline, and so this is what I invite everybody listening to the show. I want you to come up with what was the setup that made me start the segment with "That's What She Said." And go ahead and send it to at Le Batard Show on Twitter, on Threads. If you want to record a video and do it
Threads
on Instagram.
Threads is dead, buddy.
No, it's not.
Threads.
No.
I got a thread on my shirt.
Don't you dare.
Why don't you let me know?
Don't you dare. Thread is alive and kicking out in these streets. And Juju, you for sure, don't you dare. The hospitality that was shown. How dare you, sir? How dare you? Anywhere on social where you find Le Batard Show, go ahead, shoot us a comment. Let us know what the setup was for me to deliver the punchline. That's what she said. I want to talk about the Minnesota Timberwolves, but not about their basketball. Did you guys talk about this on the show last week at all? Are you guys familiar
not really.
Where I'm going with this?
I'm pretty sure they did not.
Okay. So for those of you, I know people follow a lot of different things. There's the Shohei story that was huge and maybe took up a lot of people's time. Football is always football. People get confused by that. March Madness makes everybody mad. But the Minnesota Timberwolves had a guy who got arrested. Felony charges, burglary, because he snuck into the office of the executive VP, stole his hard drive, and then proceeded to download thousands of files off of the hard drive, including NBA like strategic information, but also the financial information of the exec. And this man was once on the, I believe, on the coaching staff as an analytics kind of aide. He got demoted last August due to poor performance. And this was his way of exacting revenge, to steal a hard drive. And so it got me thinking, because I worked in a front office and I worked for people I did not like at all. But I never thought, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to steal his hard drive, figure out what's on that. Have you ever been driven to want to steal in an effort for retaliation?
Not me. Never. Not once. Yeah. Officer.
If you could, but not get caught, what would you steal?
Not a damn thing.
If you could, we're just assuming in a world as a genie says, hey, man, you're not going to get caught. This is your way to get revenge on XYZ person you don't like. What would you steal?
I mean, money. Yeah. I feel like that's the easy. I'd steal $1 billion from somebody I don't like. Perfect. Okay.
I think like the things I see on TikTok of girls who like get revenge on their boyfriends, or they steal things that are like kind of like, why would you steal that, but cause small problems. Like they steal all the batteries out of your remotes, or they steal the light bulbs from your lamps. That's what I would steal.
People do this?
Yeah. Honestly, kind of a brilliant way to get revenge.
Is it?
Yeah, because it's like no one's going to be like, oh, man, she stole the light bulb.
No, just make them feel like they're going crazy.
It just gives you a lot of just like really annoying inconveniences. Nothing that the cops are going to show up, but things that you're ruining someone's day a little bit.
What happened to a good old-fashioned upper decker? Yeah. You know what I mean? Just ruin the toilet. You know what I mean? And go about your business.
I'm going to say go ahead and steal my batteries.
Steal their left shoe. All their left shoes.
Steal my
shoes. Just make them feel like they're going insane.
Upper decker, the person who came up with the upper decker. What a diabolical asshole.
Diabolical.
Right? Like just
like what's that smell?
No, and then you look at the toilet, the toilet's like it looks empty. Clean, I don't get it. Oh, maybe just give it a flush. Or maybe I gotta go take a leak and I'm like, oh, I'll figure it out later and you flush and then you gotta throw the whole toilet away, right?
Yeah, throw the whole damn
thing. Like it's, you can't there's no cleaning of that.
I'm sure there's a way to clean it.
No.
Throw some bleach in there.
No. Gone. Take it away.
Have you ever tried to take a toilet out?
I've seen
they're so heavy.
I've seen it done on HGTV.
What's the hammer? You just like smack shit out of it, break the porcelain?
I've never even heard of an upper decker.
What?
When he said it, I thought he was talking about like an uppercut punch for a second.
Nah. Chris.
That's an uppercut.
Chris,
I was like, what? Is this a weird name for an uppercut? I was like, what's an upper decker? And I Googled it. I was sitting here like, wow, everyone knows but me. I feel really alone.
Chris, I'm going to be real with you right now. If we took headshots of everybody in this room right now, put it on the internet, erase names, put it on a side of the internet that has never heard of any of us and said, of all these people, who do you think would be most responsible for an upper decker?
And I've never heard of it. What are you pointing? What is it? I still don't even know. The act of shitting into the tank of a toilet done as a prank?
So you know what the tank where the water is, that's where the water comes when you flush your toilet?
Yeah.
People take a dump in that part. So then when you flush, instead of water coming out, it's water that's been soaking up.
I have never heard of that. That's
just
crazy.
Loads of dung. Like a tea bag.
It does sound like something I would have
loads
done.
Loads of dung is the scientific term also.
It's just, oh man, like who, why, how mad was that guy, by the way? Was he mad or was he just the person who took the joke too far?
My real Dan doesn't like this topic, by the way.
Right, speaking of dung, I feel like the Chicago Bears are in a prime position right now to have their future like look bright. Like if they draft Caleb Williams with the pieces they surrounded him with already, especially combined with that defense pulling it together at the latter half of the year, dare I say that's a rookie's best friend.
I'm going to say this right now about Caleb Williams. And this is something that your regular Dan ain't going to do, but your step Dan is going to have a word about this. Brother, you can paint your toenails and your fingernails. You can put on lipstick. You can do all that stuff. You better be good. Just like Joe Mazzulla. Like, if you do that kind of stuff, that outside the box kind of stuff, you have to be amazing. Because the minute you mess up, they are going to light you on fire. Why? I'm not telling anybody how to live their life. You live the life, whatever makes you happy. I'm just saying, when you're in that position,
you better be damn good.
If you're
going to
be eccentric in any way, however you define that, you got to be good.
It's the same thing that we do with Mike McDaniel, right? Like, oh, he's quirky, he's cool, he's the fun coach. And then you lose to the Bills, and then you lose to the Bills again, and then it's like, ooh, things are not that quirky anymore. Yeah. Like, we need to do better.
Maybe go to too many Heat games.
It's wild that people are just discovering this. He's been doing this forever. Back when he was playing for USC, he used to play or paint Utah on his nails. So, like, before the game, you would see the shot. I always thought it was cool. I don't know why people care so
much. I think
it's
awesome.
You guys got to chill out.
Everybody's got to relax.
I'm not judging what he's doing. I'm not saying awesome or terrible. I'm just saying when you do that, you cannot go out there and get your ass rocked.
But, like, what?
Maybe you can.
What is so... Well, all right, Juju.
We talked about it yesterday. I pretty much, I commend him for doing this. Like, if that's what you like to do, if you want to paint your nails, wear lipstick, shoot, turn up. I celebrate it. I think it's cool of him to do that because that's a community that doesn't get a lot of support. So if you're going to show support to the LGBTQ community, why not?
I
love it.
You can also just paint your nails.
Yeah, I don't think he's doing it for support.
It was how he... Did you see the video? He painted his nails. He had lipstick on as well with the pink phone. He was doing a little. I think it was cool as hell.
I'll be honest with you, Juju. But I don't think it was an LGBTQ thing. I think he was like, I'm going to a women's game. Let me do some stuff.
I don't either.
He does this all the time. Like,
yeah, this
he
is just what he does, man.
He did this at USC all the time. It's just he's always been doing it.
I think the way that we're breaking
it
down is slightly like
I don't want to say problematic, but the way that we're making this as if it's not like
Jeremy,
a normal masculine thing
Jeremy,
for him
if,
to do.
If he gets sacked 5 times because he held the ball too long and throws 3 of 13 in a game.
Yeah, the worst people on the internet are going to be shitty toward him.
That's,
who cares?
That's what he was saying. That's all he was saying. He was just saying that the comments and the commentary for a rookie quarterback. Something like Trevor Lawrence. Because like the
yeah, he
noise
had long
gets,
hair. Like people did the same shit. No, like I just think that I get completely what you're saying. Like I get completely what you're saying about it being out there. I just don't know that this is that far out there, especially in Gen Z, man.
I'm just saying, if you're gonna do that, you better be nice as fuck.
Well, he won the Heisman, so.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Dan Le Batard.
Amino Hassan.
Stugatz.
Amino Hassan.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz.
Along the lines of, you better be nice as you know what, the kid from Duke.
My man, Jared McCain.
Who does a lot of TikTok stuff. A lot of TikTok stuff. And I'm not talking about like, hey, guys in the dorm room that are in the locker room getting ready. He does like all the trends, all the little dances, everything like that. Again, I say emphatically, whatever makes you happy, do it. As long as you don't hurt other people, do it. But understand, if you're going to do all that, you better be nice as what? You can't.
Drop 30 points.
You can't. No. You guys keep talking about, Lucy ended the segment talking about Caleb Williams on the Heisman. You're talking about, I'm not talking about that. That's easy. You're playing against teenagers. I'm talking about when you get to the big bucks, I'm talking about when you play against the big boys, you better be nice. It's kind of like what happened with Lonzo Ball, right? Even though Lonzo wasn't doing any of the talking, it was LeVar. It's like, it's cool, it's funny, it's attention, it's all that stuff. You better be nice as f***. You can't have all of that, or all of this as we're seeing on the screen.
Is this a likable Duke player?
No.
The most likable Duke player of all time. 100%.
I love his videos.
He's great.
You love Justice Winslow. What are you talking about?
Yeah. I mean, I did love Justice Winslow. That's different.
Okay.
But not
okay.
While he was a Duke. Like, there's a
You didn't like him when he was a Duke.
Yeah,
you,
nobody likes anybody at Duke.
Hold on.
But you like this guy at
you
Duke.
Love
yeah, he's great. Because he does TikTok.
He paints his nails. He does TikTok.
So
he
the
sings,
only reason you
fun.
Like him, the only reason you like him is because he does stuff on TikTok.
It's
because
he's fun.
So if he did it on Instagram.
He's fun and likable. Yeah, sure. If he did it on Instagram, it doesn't matter.
If he did
it
on Facebook.
Yeah, sure. He could do it on MySpace.
If he did it on Truth Social.
No, I wouldn't like
that.
That's a little different.
Finally, we got him.
Boxed in.
Yeah, that's it. I'm the woke
also.
So
Nick Arison, you loved him at Duke.
Well, I love him now.
Oh.
A lot of caveats here in this argument, by the way.
I don't know.
I just think that Jared McCain's doing is pretty cool. Because it's like, I think we just got to start embracing. And this is what I was trying to say in the last segment. And I feel bad because I didn't try to make it personal in the way that you guys were describing things. You're right. Like, people will go after Caleb Williams. You guys are entirely right. And by the way, both of you were being, like, supportive. This was not a gripe against him from either of you. This was just a conversation about, like, this is the norm now. Like, Gen Z does not give a shit about our sort of standards Gen Z painting also, your nails, and like, it doesn't make a difference.
I'm going to tell you, there's a couple, because you said the worst parts of the internet. And I said, yeah, it's them, but also not just them. Not just them. Because the reality is Gen Z is not the biggest consumer of sports.
Right, but this is how, so like, this is the evolution of sports, right?
Right.
Is getting people to care about the athletes. And so Jared McCain, who now has, you know, what, a million followers on TikTok or whatever he does, that's how you get people interested in the games that he's playing.
Sure. Sure.
Right? That's how you get Gen Z.
That's how, absolutely. That's the onboarding, if he lasts long enough for the onboarding to complete. Because in the meantime, it's like walking into a room, right? Like a room is a party. There's a bunch of people in there. You walk in the room and like, I'm the different guy. Now, I'm the different guy who's going to bring in a bunch of people with me. But when I first walk in that room, it's the people who are already there. And the people who are already there, like I said, they will tolerate it, mostly. Yeah, like the shitbirds are going to do the shitbirdy thing. But the majority of the people in that room are going to be like, I'll tolerate it if you're nice as f***. Sorry to give you extra work. But
making my job so difficult.
But I have to emphasize that part, because that's the vibe, right? And so when you come in, and again, it doesn't matter what it is, whether I do TikTok dances, I wear lipstick and have, what's his name?
A pink cell phone.
Yeah. Or
nails painted.
I contest player shots in timeouts. Whatever that.
I listen to Kodak Black. Bruh, at the end of the day, we're not talking about the perception of many. We're talking about the guys. I sat there and watched the Atlanta Falcons say, we do not want Lamar Jackson last year. Yeah. Because of how he just whatever the motivation for that was, we're not talking about Generation Z. Generation Z is not signing the checks. We're talking about the people who are going to be hiring these young players, and their opinions ultimately matter the most, because they are a clique of people who can tell each other, we ain't signing them, don't you sign them. So that's the angle I'm coming from. Of course we support these brothers and sisters, these young people. Why not? Look, we support them to the end of the earth. Yeah.
When it comes to the TikTok Gen Z generation, Juju makes a great point. I think what we're like, this is already sort of becoming the norm, in the sense of like, Grady Dick was huge on TikTok and we loved all his videos and they were all funny. And so it's just going to become something you're used to seeing. Like, you'd be hard to find, like, I get the Arizona men's basketball team TikToks all the time. Like, it's just going to become the normal thing. Like, I think I like seeing them because it always reminds me, like, oh my God, these are kids. Like, they're very young, and that's just going to become the normal. In 10 years, it's not going to be a really big deal that people are making TikToks and then, you know, being a professional athlete.
It's the norm for the players, but yet the generation, Gen Z, is not going to go into ownership, right? It's the,
well,
the
not
next
with that
generation.
Attitude.
Or
not with any attitude. Nobody can afford a house.
I know.
Even more
I know.
So owning a sports team. But the point is, as the generation, whatever boomer generation that is, the next generation picks it up. Gen Z has like 50, 60 years until they get into those positions.
But with player empowerment the way that it is, and individuality being so emphasized within all of these sports. I mean, we could talk about Jazz Chisholm Jr. too, and the way that he's talked about the MLB clubhouse. Like, Gen Z is being embraced. They have to be embraced. No, they're the labor.
But Jeremy, they're embraced when they're nice as, get it ready, nice as f***, right? And so this isn't even new. Dennis Rodman was out here with eyeshadow and wearing a dress. Right. But you know why everyone was like, that's just Dennis? Because he was nice as f***. At what he did.
With 20 boards a night.
Right, like it was unassailable. And the best defensive big, you know, in terms of at the power forward position in the NBA, and clearly a huge part of success for the teams that he played. He never played for bad teams because he was a guy that helped winning. You can do eccentric. You can do outside the box. You can even make outside the box, inside the box, if you're nice enough. But if you're not, if you're just another dude, they will eat you alive and spit you out and won't think twice about it. And that's, it's all contingent on your ability to produce. until it becomes a norm. Allen Iverson is a great example of this, right? Allen Iverson was outside the box as you can get. Tattoos, braids, trying to put out a rap single in the middle of his career, traveling around with a big entourage. Like, he did things that Commissioner Stern was bouncing off the walls. If Allen Iverson were Eric Snow, he'd be out of the league. But his talent allowed him to continue. And not only that, as he continues, what happens? He influences. There are everyone else now. Everyone else is starting to get their hair braided. Now everybody else, more visible tattoos. Guys used to get tattoos like on their stomach and on their back, places that you couldn't see it. Now you see guys with sleeves. Now you see guys with the compression sleeve and the fashion. And so he molded the culture. But if Allen Iverson were just a good player, dog, none of that shit would have happened. And so that's what I say about Caleb Williams. That's what I say about the young man from Duke whose name escapes me.
Jared McCain.
Like, it's cool. You better be nice. Because if you're just good, like Juju said, the people that sign the checks, they're going to get you up out of here.
Do you think that being sort of eccentric, as long as it doesn't affect the locker room and eccentricity, like, I think the thing that Lucy and I were sort of agreeing on here is that maybe it's just through the Gen Z lens, but like painting your fingernails pink or having a pink phone case or throwing on a little lip gloss, whatever, like that's not eccentric amongst each other.
Yes.
And so if it doesn't interrupt what's going on in the locker room and you're not an issue off the court or off the field, then what is the real problem? If it doesn't affect sort of your behavior around ownership or things like that, it's just, hey, I'm blending in with my generation, then how is this really an issue for anyone?
I would say, again, it's not about whether it is an issue. It's about whether it's perceived as an issue, right?
So, right, of course.
So, yes, my 27, 25, you know, 20, even my 31-year-old teammate doesn't see anything untoward about it. My coach... maybe. But again, all of it is absolved. If you're nice, you do whatever you want, man. Dennis Rodman went to Vegas in the middle of a championship season. He went to Vegas and they couldn't find him. Like,
that was the best part of The Last Dance.
That wasn't like a big secret. Like, people knew he was doing these Vegas trips in the middle of the season. Hell, James Harden in Houston was doing Bahamas trips. Like, it's if you're good enough, we will tolerate anything. Mike D'Antoni used to say, I'll play Satan if he's got a jump shot. Meaning, like, you can be, like, just as outside the box as can be if you are producing. If you're producing. If you are just a regular person with the ups and downs that regular people go through, the tolerance level goes down to near zero. And to that point, right? Again, it's not your teammates. It's going to be your coaches, management, ownership, sponsors, and then media. Because most media people aren't 23. You might find an errant one here or there, but for the most part, it doesn't quite work that way. Can we do against the spread right here?
That's right. It's time for Against the Spread. And it is sponsored by DraftKings. Stay tuned because you'll hear more about DraftKings and all it has to offer throughout the show. DraftKings, the crown is yours. I'm going to stay in the NBA. I don't know why I said stay because I'm the first one to go. Magic playing the Warriors at home on a back-to-back for the Warriors tonight. I'm going to go with the Magic minus 4.5. You know, the old back-to-back. It's a tough trip.
The Miami Orlando back to
back. Exactly. Everyone always talks about how tough that is for teams. It's like playing in Denver on a back to back, playing in Orlando, just like it. Tony, what do you got?
We are going to the College Hoops Sweet 16, and I am taking the North Carolina State Wolfpack +6.5 against Marquette. DJ Burns, the big dog, the smooth operator. I'm taking the Wolfpack +6.5.
More to come later in the show from Tony Brackets, by the way.
Anybody else? No?
I'm staying in the association like Chris. I'm going to Memphis tonight. We got the Los Angeles Lakers versus the Grizzlies. I think the Lakers got a little twinkle in their eye because after last night, a lot of good momentum. And the Grizzlies, we all know, are rebuilding. Salute to Gigi. I love you. But I'm going to take the Lakers against the spread.
Against the spread.
Minus four.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Don Levitard.
We got Afrini Hardaway.
Afrini? Who was Afrini Hardaway?
I was trying to read fast. UD was on the team. Luke Jackson. Bobby Jones. The Matrix, Sean Marion.
Stugatz.
Zoe, Shaq, Smush Parker. Chris Quinn.
Wait a minute.
D-Wade.
Wait a minute.
Jason Williams, Darrell Wright. I mean, stacked roster.
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz.
So I don't know if you guys know this about me, but I am a fan of eating exotic animals. Like, I'm using exotic very loosely, but, you know, you tell me that we have an opportunity to consume an animal that people usually don't consume, I'm there.
You're in?
I'm in.
So obviously you don't eat pork. That's the only animal that you don't eat.
Yeah, I don't eat. Oh, and shellfish because I'm allergic.
Okay. When it comes to exotic animals, what's the one that you've tried? You've been like, huh, not bad.
Oh, a bunch. More than not bad. Rabbit. Gator.
Gator's Ooh, good. Gator's kind of like calamari.
Rabbit, tell you guys,
rabbit's a little
gamey. There's a new gator chili hot dog at Marlins games.
Tell me more. Yeah, Hold on.
I went yesterday to the Baseball Bites sort of showcase all the new food that's going to be at the ballpark.
I didn't get invited to that.
Yeah, thanks for the invite.
Again, you said you were going to invite us last year. You said you were going to get us this year.
Last year I was invited by the Marlins.
Billy was there. So I don't know. Yeah, Billy was there.
So multiple people knew about it, didn't say anything.
Mike Fuentes was there.
What?
Oh my God, this is bad.
He's not even here.
I probably just didn't see the email.
Yeah, that's likely what happened. Nonetheless, it was delicious. There's all sorts of good new food. But like the main new thing that they were throwing at everyone is gator chili hot dog with real hunks of gator meat inside the chili. It is delicious. They were putting them out in little tiny, little tiny bites. Gator bites. I had two or three yesterday.
Gator bites are fire. It's kind of like a mix between like calamari and chicken, the way that the meat is. But it's not like a red meat like you would think. Oh, it's like a steak.
I said gator tastes like a chicken that took a swim in like some pond water.
Mm.
That's the best way I can describe it. Every time I go to New Orleans, I have to have fried gator. I have to.
Fire a little poppadoms.
And every single time, what I do, I open it up. It's usually on a po' boy, and I put the hot sauce on it, and I let it know. You thought you was top of the food chain. Guess again, and I tough talk it. To let it know. It's one of my great delights. I've also had venison.
Venison's good. I like deer.
I had it in New York, and it was excellent. And then we went to Salt Lake City.
We had it together, yeah.
In Utah, and
It was not good.
Not that good.
It wasn't good. I think they overcooked it, right? Because venison is supposed to be done very medium rare almost. It's
supposed to be falling off the bone.
That's right.
Man.
And it's supposed to be a little, red, pink inside where you can eat it very, very nicely. They gave it to us as tough as a $2 steak. That shit was hard as hell.
Hey, yo.
Sorry. there's been an issue at my house where I've been bored of eating the same beef, chicken, fish, whatever the du jour dinner
is. In a food rut?
Yeah.
I hate a food rut where it's like I'm eating the same 10 places over and over again.
I'm cooking at home, so it's like I can only do the same dishes so many times a week. Right. Okay, we make turkey chili. Okay, great. Then we have, picadillo, or we have a steak, or we have this, or we have that. And I'm like, I want to get out of my comfort zone of just doing the same thing. The problem is my wife is a very, she's not a picky eater.
Conservative eater.
But she's like very conservative when it comes to eating. She's
trying to keep it fresh.
Right. She's like, why don't you come out with a new menu? And I'm like, me? What do you want me to do? I throw protein on the plate. I throw some veggies. And we make it happen, right? So she knows I've eaten rattlesnake. I've had in a sausage.
Fire.
In Denver, I've had it. Fire. There's a place in Denver that had a rattlesnake sausage. It was great.
Sports Nation, they got us a chef from Texas who came out. I was like, these are some better tailgate foods. And boy, he was bringing flames with him. That rattlesnake?
Crazy good.
Crazy good.
So,
stop it.
Yeah, you need to stop that. Juju guy.
Stop it.
So I went to a place that does high quality meats, right?
So I'm you're being around. So careful. You're so scared of everything.
No, because I don't want to also give a place a plug that, you know, they don't sponsor or whatever. So I go to this place and I'm looking around and I'm like, okay, I put my usual stuff, a little grass-fed beef here, a little grass-fed beef there, some mahi, some this, some that. And then I run across elk.
Hmm.
And I'm like, you know what?
You said, get in my mouth, elk.
I didn't say that, but I was like, you know what? That right there, that's something that I want. So they said elk is basically like beef to veal, where it's kind of like that.
Oh,
difference.
It's more tender.
It's a little more tender.
Okay.
And if you don't know what an elk is, it's like a big ass moose.
Yeah.
Essentially.
I didn't know. I would have guessed it would have been tougher than regular.
No, apparently it's a little bit, you know, a little bit more rich in flavor, a little bit more tender. So
salute
I bought
a bullwinkle, by the way.
Yeah. I'm not eating bullwinkle. So I it comes out in, you know, a package like a pound of ground beef would. So I get it, I bring it home, and I call my wife and I'm like, hey babe, listen. I got this, and that, and I was this close. So the elk meat was right next to, and I feel like you'd follow me on this. Uh-huh. I mean, kangaroo meat.
Oh, give me some Skippy the kangaroo.
So I was like, dude, I told my wife Jenny, I'm like, babe, I was this close to getting ground kangaroo. So we would have had elk one night, kangaroo the other night, and then she drops a line to me that I was like, first off, what do you mean by that? She tells me, you've been very adventurous with your meat lately.
Yo!
Go on.
First off, what is that supposed to mean? I don't like the insinuation on that I've been adventurous with my meat. My meat knows where it's supposed to go.
Let my boy cook.
And that's it. But I want to get some elk. I want to get some kangaroo. What's wrong with that?
Would you make elk tacos or something?
No, I haven't made it yet. It's still frozen in the thing. But she's like, I'm not going to eat it. I'm like, I'm going to make it, and you're going to eat it, and you're not going to know the difference.
You're not going to know.
Sorry.
That's what I love. I love when they don't know. Like, oh, what meat is this? Ah, surprise.
It's kangaroo.
It's kangaroo Jack. Good day, you say.
So again, I'm a adventurous eater when it comes to different types of proteins that are around.
There's no way to say that.
Protein.
There's no even that.
I got elk. Even that. I got kangaroo. Got some rattlesnake. Man. Got some gator.
It does seem like your wife is right, though. I mean, you just named a bunch of like four or five exotic meats. You are getting a little wild with your meat recently.
Adventurous, not wild.
Yeah, wild.
Keep it respectful.
Be respectful, Chris.
I mean, she's not wrong, though. How do you argue with what she's saying?
She's not wrong.
You were offended by it, though. You're like,
I was.
What?
The insinuation was that I'm out here eating roadkill. That's all I'm doing. Even though I've heard of iguana, delectable in some countries.
Speaking of iguanas in Miami, Rojas put out a response to Jazz. Did y'all see that?
We have the video for that, I believe.
Okay. Holy moly.
So while the video team gets that ready, Juju, can you bring people up to speed on what Jazz said to create this situation?
I feel like that'll be blasphemous with the expert, with the Miami Marlin expert in the building. I feel like he can give us the most nuanced take on all of this.
Just give us a quick one because we got the video ready.
Jeremy, are you adventurous with your meat?
Okay. So Jazz Chisholm Jr. Spoke on a podcast about the way that some of the veteran players on the Marlins treated him when he was a rookie and coming up through the last couple of years. For context, there was a players-only meeting that in 2022, when the Marlins were struggling, it was Don Mattingly's last year as manager. Miguel Rojas was the captain of the Miami Marlins, someone who had played for Don Mattingly for years in L.A. and now into Miami. And Miggy Rowe was not really playing very well that year. Jazz and some of the younger players were the guys who were playing
well-ish. Mm-hmm. They were a bad team, but establishing themselves. And basically what Jazz said was that a lot of the veterans were hard on him, hard on a lot of the other young players, namely Jesus Sanchez, who did like the Soto shuffle, was having fun in the batter's box. Jazz Chisholm Jr. talked about a time where he specifically was taking a nap before the game, and the captain of the team did not wake him up for a meeting that was happening. And basically he was saying like the older guys didn't really want to help us. They just wanted to kind of shit on us.
And he never named Rojas, but everyone knew it was Rojas. Yeah. And everyone was waiting to hear what's Rojas. He even said that he sucked. Like, yeah, it wasn't like he was blunt.
No, he went
like,
after
our captain
him.
Sucked.
He went after him.
And so Rojas was on with Chris Rose and he's responded to Jazz.
Everybody's entitled to have their own opinion. Whatever you want to say about me as a player, you can have that opinion. But you saying that I'm a bad person when you don't even know me, that's kind of what bothers me. I'm not expecting everybody to like me, and I don't like everybody. But that doesn't mean that I can go out there and tell everybody what's happening in the clubhouse. As a professional, you have to understand that you have to respect everybody that is in that clubhouse. When you come to a place and you get to a new place, there are people there that have been there before you. There's rule in place, and someone is going to keep you accountable. That's all the best we're trying to do.
All right, so this is what I'm going to say. It kind of sounds like he's backing up what Jazz said, because as a young player, you don't know the rules. You don't know how to do this thing. You have no idea, especially I would imagine in baseball more so than perhaps any other sport.
A lot of unwritten rules.
So many unwritten rules, right? Like, and the way baseball is played literally everywhere else in the world, they don't follow a lot of those rules, right? So it would appear to me, like when you say, yeah, how can you say that about me? You don't know me as a person. Like, dog, you're the vet. You're the one that's supposed to reach out. He's the young guy. I don't know.
I think that's the part that was complicated about this. At the time, and the reason I brought up the players only meeting was it was sort of positioned like, all right, Miguel Rojas is going to, you know, hold all of these guys accountable and he wanted to bring everybody together, but then basically spent that entire meeting, according to the reporting and some of the conversations that I've had too, basically just ripping Jazz.
Yeah.
And some of the other young guys for what they were doing. And it's tough in any locker room, in any workplace, to hold somebody accountable when you're also not holding up your end of the performance right. side. So Miguel Rojas was a professional with all of us, like with the media. He was a guy who was probably given a little too much of a platform, being brought out all the time to the media as a representative of the Marlins for years.
It was all the team had, though. Like,
he
there
was
wasn't
everything.
A lot.
And so as a result, Derek Jeter really empowered him as the shortstop, mm-hmm. as a bilingual guy who could speak to the media in Miami and really be able to kind of be the face. But as he was the face and he gained all of that power in the locker room, he was struggling to give up some of his sort of old school ways
yeah.
with some of these younger players. And it was there was a divide in the locker room. A thing Jazz spoke about is like at the time, you know, some of the older Hispanic guys were divided from like him and some of the younger black guys or Hispanic guys in the locker room. I know that Sandy Alcantara and Garrett Cooper really supported Jazz. Like, it was a divided team.
Right.
And those two guys simply just did not really like each other or jive.
To me, like the vets, having good vets is so important. And again, I can speak from a basketball standpoint, but you don't necessarily have to be a great player in that moment.
Udonis Haslem.
Right. Like, UD's the prime example.
Miggy was supposed to be the Marlins' Udonis Haslem.
Right.
The issue was is that he had not really established himself as the type of player that UD had been earlier in his career.
Right.
So while he's trying to preach to these younger players about what's the right thing to do and how to play the game, he had that experience. He learned from some other guys. But when you're batting like 220, it's a little difficult right. to be able to preach that.
But I just feel like that's your job is to be big brother and put an arm around their shoulder and get them to understand rather than to shit on them. That ain't going to work. Upper Decker.
If he hit a few more Upper Deckers.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality
of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.